Lady Barclay reform?
Well, then the French government were very, very kind, because they said they were feeling so grateful for the British, to the British, for, you know, rescuing them from the Germans and all that, that they were going to give some skiing holidays to some of the people who were stationed in Bad Oeynhausen. Well, there were only two of us there, girls, WAF officers, Rocket and myself. So, of course, we came in on this. So off we went to Chamonix. And we got on the train, and on the way, on the 15th, we were in Brussels. And then on the 16th, we went to Paris. And on the 17th, we arrived in Chamonix. And I remember it was lovely food, being French. And they had a lovely sort of puree of lentils. That was the thing I'd never had before. Instead of having potatoes, they didn't seem to have any potatoes. So they had this delicious puree of lentils and that sort of thing. So then we skied there and had a lovely time. I don't know where we got skis or boots or anything from. Everything seemed to happen just in Germany. It was by magic. And on the 27th, we left Chamonix, and we went back to Paris, and then we then went to Buckelberg again, and then on the 29th, back to the office. And then on the 20th of April, we then went down to the Mona Sea, which was where there'd been that breach of the Mona Dam, do you remember? And we saw all that, the great sort of, where all the water had rushed through the Mona Dam and the sort of breach in the dam and that sort of thing. And then back we came, and the 25th, off to the island of Juist. That was a little island off the coast of Hamburg or somewhere up there.
North Sea coast.
Yes, I believe it's now a nudist colony. Anyway, we had to go across in a little boat to that, and then it was very stuffy on board, and so I suddenly said to one of the sailors, I said, "Oh, bitte das Fenster aufmachen," you see, and he opened the window, and Rocket said to me, "I didn't know you spoke German." I said, I don't speak German at all, but I just knew that sentence. It was so funny. And then on the 26th, we came back from there. And then on the 1st of June, we went down to the Mona Sea again. I don't know what we went down there for. And then on the 10th of June, we left for Paris. And we then had 5 days in Paris, having a lovely time. We did lots and lots of shopping. And
was there anything
it was very cheap. Yes, there was. We bought stockings, and I bought a swimsuit, which I've still got now. I mean, there were things that, you know, we'd never seen in the shop, silk stockings and things like that. And another thing, of course, in Germany was you weren't allowed to sell your cigarettes or anything like that. And I didn't smoke. And so we had a cigarette ration. So I had my cigarette ration, and I put it in a cupboard in my bedroom. And one day I went to open the cupboard to put some more cigarettes in it, and suddenly, oh, it was absolutely empty. And all my cigarettes had been stolen. So I thought, right, from now on, I'm selling my cigarettes, because everybody else sold their cigarettes, and we were going to be very moral. We said, we're not selling ours. But we did. And so everybody sold cigarettes for money. And so that's how we had some money. We were able to go to Paris and do lots of shopping in Paris, because we had this money from selling our cigarettes. And when we were in Bad Oeynhausen, it was nothing but parties. Every night, party upon party upon party at the 21 Club. And, of course, we had to go to all these parties because we were the only two girls there. And everybody was being demobbed, you see, and they were all demob parties. And everybody was always getting tight and drunk, and I just hated it. I used to see all these Germans, and they were so miserable and so grey and so searching in dustbins for food. And there was an ashtray at the tables, you know, and it was always full of cigarettes and the cigarette stumps. And when we were leaving the tables, the waiters used to be all hovering around like this, waiting. And as soon as you left the table, all the hands went straight into the ashtray like that. And in a second, there wasn't a single stub left. And what they did with the cigarettes, who smoked the cigarettes, we never knew. But we were told that possibly it was the farmers, because they were just currency. And the other currency was coffee. And we heard of people, there was one man going up to Berlin with a pound of coffee, and he said he's going up to get his wife a mink coat for a pound of coffee. It was like that. The currency was coffee and cigarettes if you wanted to get anything. And there was quite a lot, I remember, of vandalism in Germany by certain people. You know, they would, I remember going to one Schloss once, I think it was Schloss Opel, and there was a huge great staircase, and up the staircase there were all these pictures and tapestries and things, and you know, they'd been sort of holes made in them and things like that, and I thought that was quite terrible to do that sort of thing. And some of our troops, I think, behaved rather badly like that and pulled up the banisters of lovely staircases and burnt them and things like that. And I never could enjoy myself in Germany because of, you know, seeing the sort of misery of the Germans. I just felt I couldn't enjoy myself.
What was the general attitude of Germans towards the Allied presence in 1946? Were they resentful or bitter or...
Well, no, they didn't seem to be like that at all, no. They were just very sort of almost servile. All the waiters in the 21 Club, they were just doing their job like that and really just waiting for the cigarette stubs. But everybody looked very thin and starved. And when one went through the countryside in a train or anything and you saw any dustbins anywhere, people were always searching in dustbins, that's what I remember, for any fragments of food they could find. They really were starving. Why they didn't give in sooner, I can't possibly imagine, because there was no hope for them to win the war, especially after all that bombing started, you know, 1944, and they were just blanket bombed, they were. And then when we went down into the Ruhr, like these places we went, you just went through sort of narrow streets like that, very narrow, and each side was just rubble on either side, just rubble, 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 rubble. They were like lanes, narrow lanes with rubble on either side. They were just bombed to bits. You've never seen anything like it. Devastation. They must have really suffered, those Germans. They should have given in. Another thing I remember, too, was we were, Bad Oeynhausen, where we were, was quite near Minden. And there were terrible, terrible floods. I'd never seen anything so flooded as that place. It was like a great sea all round there. Perhaps it often gets flooded, I don't know, but that struck me. There were so many floods the whole time. And then another thing, Bad Oeynhausen, that was a spa. And so we used to go there and... have baths. You could have a bath in a marvellous wooden tub. It was very deep, about that deep, and it was a lovely thing getting into a wooden tub. If you've never done it, you just can't know the warmth of it, because you know when you get into a bath normally, I mean the bath itself is a cold thing, isn't it? But
yes.
This, the whole thing was warm, and it was lovely. And there was a funny old German woman there who was in charge, and she was, you know, always saying Bitter Schön, because she was called Bitter Schön, that's what we used to call her. But she was very, you know, again, servile, really, always Bitter Schön, and always everything had to be so right, you know. And then the place where I was billeted, the house there, I remember feeling so sorry for whoever the woman was in the room that I occupied, because all the cupboards there were so, you opened the cupboard and all the little shelves were beautifully lined with lace all along the front of the shelf, which I have now copied myself. And upstairs, I have that in my own dressing room now. All along the edge of the shelf, I have put lace because it looked so pretty. And I thought, well, that poor woman, fancy, she just had to leave her home like that, as this lovely home that she had. And I wondered where she was now, poor woman. And there were a tremendous number of nightingales singing. And nightingales, they seemed to sing all night, much more than we ever have. And it was a town full of nightingales. It was a very, very nice place. And then I used to do a lot of riding there, too. I found any horses and had jodhpurs. I can't think. Things just seemed to, you know, we seemed to just have things. And everything was easy to do. It was perhaps because one was young. Could have been that. And then another place we went to, And we went down to the Ruhr, and we were going to buy some white silk, because we'd heard that somewhere where we could buy white silk. And so when we arrived at this place, it was an army mess, I think. And it was quite late at night. And Rocket and I arrived, you see, and so we knocked on the door like that. And somebody came to the door, and we said, well, it's the CO there. I said, oh, the CO was away. And all the others, it was all officers there, they were all having a very good time because the CO was away, and they were all drunk, and they were debagging each other and all sorts of things. And it must have given them a terrible shock when they opened the door. And we said, oh, we've come to see if we can stay the night. And so we went in, and they gave us the CO's bed. And so it was a great big bed, so Rocket and I spent the night in the CO's bed. And I don't know what happened to the poor driver. I don't know that he had such a good innings at all, because he was very, very sulky next morning, and I don't blame him either, because we seemed to be just always swanning round the place, but that's what it was like after the war.
It sounds as though there's an immense contrast between the festivities of the Allied personnel and the state that the Germans were in.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And then I didn't like that at all. It upset me very much, but there's nothing you could do about it. And the Germans now, look how they pulled themselves up.